there's another thing that's going on in this world of gaming and online stuff, and it has to do with buying clothing, you know, your apparel, your wardrobe, but it doesn't really exist. People are spending lots of money on clothing, but it doesn't really exist. It only exists in the online world. And I never even thought about anything like that. But let me just share this with you. This is from Yahoo News. The online metaverse is coming. And if we're going to be spending more time in virtual worlds, there's one crucial question. What are you going to wear? Daniela Loftus, 27 years old, she says, when I first started talking about this, my friend said, what are you talking about? But my 14-year-old cousins understood it immediately, she said. For many, the idea of buying clothes that don't exist is a conceptual leap too far. But emerging digital fashion stores are tapping into a growing market. Not actual clothes, but digitally generated outfits that stores simply Photoshop onto your photos or videos to be posted onto Instagram and elsewhere. So you don't, these aren't actual clothes, but they can put you in them in a picture, and then you can brag about your nice wardrobe because you put it up on Instagram. Do you see how this is
working? Oh, yeah. They're called skins. Fortnite's been doing this for a while. It's the first time I ever saw it. My son, my son was addicted to Fortnite when it first came out, and he would, he'd spend all of his birthday money and Christmas money on these skins. So you play a character.
Is that like a uniform, or that's an avatar?
It's like an avatar, but it's really the clothes that they're wearing. Or the weapons that they have. It has no actual effect on gameplay. The game is exactly the same. It's just the character you're running around with is different. And then they started getting licenses with Marvel and Disney and Star Wars, so you could run around as Darth Vader or a Stormtrooper or Spider-Man or Superman. Mm-hmm. And so people are paying really good money just to have access to these characters. So this clothes thing that you're talking about is right along those same lines. And so
sounds like it.
I tell my kid, like, this, what a waste of money. You're literally wasting your money. And
you're spending your money on nothing.
Right. And so when he turned 14, he got a job, like a real job where he pays taxes. And his first paycheck, he dropped way too much money on this virtual clothes, basically. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until then that I think he realized what a waste of money. It wasn't until he was actually using his hard-earned money I don't think he's ever done it again. It's just that one last time, and now he's
wasting
his money.
Other people's money seems to spend easier than your own money, doesn't it?
That's a fact.
Yeah. Well, okay, fair enough. And since you're on TikTok all day long, no wonder you understand that. You've cut your TikTok habit down to what, under 10 hours a day? What are you up to? What are you down to now?
TikTok? Oh, I'd say, I have to stay current for the show. You know, you rely on my TikTok knowledge to get you through the day.
I do. What can I say?
It's just part of the job.
There's no shame in that. So how about this? Back in 2019, Michaela LaRose of The Fabricant, I think that's the name of the company, sold the first ever digital dress. So it's just a digital, it's just pixels. It's just what you'd get off of your computer. She sold it for $9,500. Somebody was willing to buy this dress that doesn't exist for $9,500. The traditional fashion industry is one of the biggest pollutants and waste generators on the planet, a point made by Extinction Rebellion protesters who stormed the Louis Vuitton catwalk in Paris last week. Freedom fighters. So they're deciding now that, you know, maybe the best way to save the planet and part fools from their money is to sell them digital clothing that doesn't exist, but they can put the clothing on their own pictures, put those on Instagram, and look really cool. That's the whole story. And my reaction to it is, what a colossal waste of money. What a colossal waste of time. For the people who are just so immersed in this online world, what about the real world? What about the real problems that we have? And for that matter, I mean, if you're sleepwalking your life away, if you're sleepwalking toward the end of your life, may that be many happy years from now, but eventually we all have to go. And if you've spent the better part of your life just immersed in a fantasy world and spending money on non-existent clothing, heaven help you. And I mean, I can't imagine somebody on his deathbed wishing, oh, if only I had bought more digital clothing. If only I had bought more, if only I had played more in this virtual world, how much happier I would be right now. Just I don't think it works that way.
It's only going to get worse.
VR,
it's next level VR. Google and Facebook are working on this like completely immersive virtual reality, and you can already just tell people are going to get lost in it, and it'll be more important to them than the real world.
Talk about the opium of the masses.
Big time.
I mean, in a way, religion never could be. You know, I remember doing a story, Cyrus, and I think this was, it might have been before the merger. I don't remember for sure. But it was it was either South Korean or it was Japanese. A company, now this was so weird to me. They use an example. Okay, there's a video of this, and we played it on the air, but you only get the audio. There's this grieving mother. This is all real. This is not actors or anything. This grieving mom, Japanese, I think, and her little girl had died somehow tragically, suddenly. And the little girl was like maybe 5 years old when she died. Well, this company specializes in, if you give enough by way of photographs and any video that may exist, they create a hologram of a person. In this case, they created this speaking, moving, talking, like exactly the little girl herself. And the mom goes into this chamber and she has this heart-rending, you know, she's tearful. She can't hug this child. She's trying to hug the hologram. And a little girl is saying to her, you know, oh, mommy, I love you. I miss you. I'm fine. Things that were programmed. But it's in her voice. And it's her because it's, you know, digital recreation of her. And as I watched it and we talked about it on the program, I thought to myself, on the one hand, it makes sense to me why somebody would actively want to have some kind of contact, although this really isn't contact. This is just a computer generation. But to have an opportunity to simulate being with a loved one who has passed on. But I also got the sense that this would make it much, much worse for the grieving process, where you can't really heal from it because this now is bringing it all back, even though it's not real. Were you with us when we did that particular story?
Yeah, I remember that story and the video. This poor mom. I mean, she's just reliving all of the trauma.
She's in tears.
And that hologram isn't going to give any of that emotional love and support back. So it's a mom losing it over something that's not really there. And it just seems like it does so much more harm than good.
That was exactly my take on it. So I'm glad I'm not misremembering, but I'm tying that now into this story about the digital fashion. I mean, in a way, it's just kind of a dumb story in a way. You know, people are spending hard-earned money on something that doesn't really exist. Okay, whatever. As we have been saying the last couple of days, a fool and his money are soon parted. But there's a bigger picture here, and I think that gets to what you were saying a minute ago about the next level VR. I know virtual reality is here, and I know it's getting more sophisticated. So as I understand it, the next level means it's going to be far more realistic, right? And far more integrated with things like a sense of motion and touch and things
touch,
like that.
Touch, feel, yeah. So you'll feel the air blowing on your skin, or you know, you might be able to smell the strawberry fields.
Mm-hmm. Forever?
I threw that out there for you. Yeah, and there's another aspect of it that I've worried about. You know, especially having children, they like playing the shooter games like Fortnite, which is very cartoony. There's definitely worse games like Call of Duty, where it looks like real people are shooting real guns with real blood.
It's a splatter game, right?
Right. So if you're in a VR and you're running around with some fellow soldiers and they're real human beings that you're talking to, so they have real conversation, real interactions with their words, even though it's all virtual reality. And then you see your buddies get killed, and then you yourself get killed, and then you take off your VR set,
and everybody's still there.
Wouldn't that be a case for PTSD? where it's immersed. You're so immersed in the game, and it's you're spinning around, you're turning around, you're running, and you're watching all these horrible things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that stay with you?
I would think, if I had to guess, it'd be interesting. I'm sure there'll be PhD dissertations written on this topic, you know, about the effects of virtual reality on like long-term emotional states and things. I just don't know offhand. I would have to think it probably is the case. I'm thinking more in terms of, and I know we have to take a break, so just I'll toss this out there. I'm thinking more in terms of escapism. Not that playing the war games is an escapism. And I don't play those games, but back in the day when my sons were teenagers and we got like the Bond, the James Bond game, that was a lot of fun.
One of the best games I've ever played. I've had so much fun playing that. So I get it too. I get the appeal
and
of
I enjoyed
these games. They're fun.
Yeah. So I'll leave you with this tidbit, and maybe somebody out there's got a comment or two. And especially if you are a game programmer, maybe you've got some insights. But I'm thinking more in terms of escapism into a fantasy world that's not built around violence per se. Obviously, sex is one aspect. Obviously, other things in life could be very alluring. But if people begin to just go into these cocoons and they just are spending more and more time in a world that doesn't really exist, I foresee real problems, not only for those people individually, but also, you know, for society. How do you function as a society when huge numbers of people, as it may well get to be, are living in a fantasy world where nothing that's happening is really real and reality continues all around them? And I'm talking also about the spiritual realities. I have deep reservations about how this is going. I'm not against the idea of playing a fun game. I'm not against the idea of, you know, beautiful, realistic virtual reality, but I have a feeling that people who are already kind of prone to addiction in our culture may find that just too much to say no to. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one, Cyrus. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with phone calls and plenty more right here on The Patrick Madrid Show.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.